This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Breaking news, O.J. Simpson turned away at the gates of heaven as he is surprisingly informed that he, in fact, is the real killer. We'll have more tonight at 10.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Well, the juice is dead.
Yes, he is.
O.J. Simpson.
You know, some people are sad about it. Others are like, whew, it's about time.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of, I mean, there's a good chunk of our audience that has no clue about O.J. Simpson, has no recollection of it, maybe heard about it in history books or something. But O.J. Simpson, the enigmatic and controversial figure, whose life journey spanned from athletic glory to legal infamy, has come to an end with the passing at the age of 76 due to prostate cancer. It's confirmed by his family. Simpson's death marks the closure of a very tumultuous chapter in American history that was dominated by his high-profile murder trial and subsequent legal battles. Renowned as a football star and a Hollywood actor, Simpson's legacy was forever altered by the tragic events of June 1994, when his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend Ronald Goldman were brutally slain in Los Angeles. The ensuing trial, famously dubbed the Trial of the Century at the time, captivated the nation's attention, sparking debates on race, celebrity justice, and police conduct. And let's just put that into perspective a little bit. There was not really a 24-hour news cycle at that moment in time.
No.
CNN existed. No. There was no Fox News. There was no MSNBC. And there was nothing else. The court TV was in its infancy. It had just started. And they ran the trial, but it wasn't just court TV that ran the trial. Every network television station ran the trial.
And if you watched a soap and you were hoping to see it.
Oh my God. My mom was so pissed back then.
Yeah.
She watched As the World Turns. And I think they started running them in like late nights, didn't they? To like keep them going.
Yes.
And everybody had to like tape it on VCR to get it. And
yep.
And that's how they would try and keep up with that. And this trial went on for a long time. Like, how long was that trial?
I'm gonna look that up because honestly, I don't know. It felt like forever. Like, you could miss weeks of it and tune back in, just like watching The Young and the Restless, that soap. It'd be like, yeah, you could miss so much and then just tune in and go, huh, okay, there we are.
This was the beginning of people being interested in true crime. As a society, it really was the beginning of it. Had this not happened, there probably been another case that would have ushered that era in. But this is the one that did it. Before that, this genre that we do didn't exist.
Okay, the trial spanned 11 months.
No shit, it was that long.
11.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, it was just as long as, I mean, it, yeah. I was going to guess like 6 or 7, but 11. I did not, wow.
November 9th, 1994 to October 3rd, 1995.
Yeah, and by the end of it, the attorneys' names were household names, Marcia Clark, Johnny Cochran, F. Lee Bailey.
Christopher Darden.
Yeah, it was a very, very viewed thing. I'm giving context if you weren't around for it. I was in junior high at the time, and I remember when the verdict finally came in, it was around lunchtime, and they wheeled the TV cart into the room because this was the days when there was like, you know, a handful of TVs in the building, and they had to be wheeled around on carts. Not every room had a projector screen like they do now. And we were lucky enough, we had a TV in our room. And then some other classrooms came in as well, and we watched the verdict live and then went to lunch.
That was a big deal.
And everyone was shocked that he was found not guilty. Well, not everyone. It actually really did create a divide in our country at that moment in time between the African-American community and the white community. And there was party lines divided, or racial lines divided, I guess you could say. Obviously, everybody has their own thing, but it really did. There was a stark difference, if you were just statistically to look at it, in opinion there, where one group is shouting and being excited. They believe that he was innocent and justice was served. The other going, this is insane. How did he get off on this? Because if you really look back on the evidence, and I think socially, most people, regardless of race, look back on this and go, yeah, he was guilty as sin.
Oh, absolutely. The other thing to kind of keep in mind as far as racial divides. So this alleged OJ killing, I'm saying alleged, even though, yeah, whatever.
He killed them.
Happened, I know he did, in 94. Back in 92, LA had some riots because of Rodney King. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know Rodney King, he was pulled over for speeding and had the living shit beat out of him by LAPD.
Yeah.
And that started just horrific rioting in Los Angeles. So this was a community, a state where tensions were high.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a very famous man of color who, let's not forget to throw in the 1993 Ford Bronco chase that happened as well.
Oh, yeah.
I still don't understand what that was about. Do you?
Well, they wanted him to turn himself in, and then he was going to kill himself. And he was in the car and then the Bronco, and then he started calling TV stations. His friend, I forget who the driver was.
Al Cowling.
Yeah, Al Cowling started calling TV stations, and we got OJ here, and then they were trying to talk him out of not killing himself, which he ultimately did not. And then they got to his home, and then they arrested him there. But it was, they were closing in on him, and why they got in the Bronco, where they were going, why, I don't know. But that is pretty much how it went down. I watched that at a Kmart. Where they had all the TVs on the wall. I remember being in there and then seeing that on all the televisions, the white Bronco. This is also why Ford stopped making the Bronco for many, many years, because the word Bronco became synonymous with O.J. Simpson and nothing else. And then there weren't Broncos very much. And every time you saw one on the road, all you thought of was O.J. Simpson. To this day, if I see a Bronco, all I think of is O.J. Simpson.
Especially a white one. You're like, ooh, O.J.
Yeah, but, you know, again, many were not around for all of that and have no recollection. So they've reissued it. They brought it back because there's a whole market that can buy it again now that time has passed a little bit. Despite the overwhelming evidence against him, including blood drops and a glove found at the crime scene, Simpson was acquitted of the murder in a dramatic courtroom verdict in 1995. However, a subsequent civil trial did find him liable, guilty for the deaths, and ordered him to pay $33.5 million to the victims' families, casting a shadow over his acquittal and perpetuating public fascination with the case. Simpson's life continued to be marred by legal troubles, culminating in 2008 conviction for armed robbery and other felonies related to a confrontation in a Las Vegas hotel room. Despite serving 9 years in prison for that, Simpson remained defiant upon his release in 2017, maintaining his innocence and asserting that he was merely attempting to retrieve stolen sports memorabilia. Throughout his life, Simpson's persona transcended racial and societal barriers, earning him adulation as a football legend and a cultural icon. He was an actor. He was in movies. He was, mm-hmm. Was it Budget? What was the car commercial that he did?
I think it was Budget.
I mean, he was, if you watch the Naked Gun movies, or was it?
Yeah, or was it Airplane?
Was Airplane or Naked Gun? Leslie Nielsen, I think, was in it.
It was Naked Gun, I think.
Naked Gun? He was in it. And people loved him until, you know, the whole killing his ex-wife and boyfriend. But he was a very popular figure. And then that's what really changed it. I mean, I'm trying to think of today who would be comparable if this were to happen. I guess LeBron James, went and was accused of doing something like this. That's how shocking it would be. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. Oh, no way. And yeah, I mean, no way am I trying to say anything negative about LeBron James. I'm just trying to give some context here of what it would be like.
He was known and loved by a lot of people. Yeah. And, you know, there were people who knew him as the football star. There were people who adored him as the actor. He was everywhere. If you wanted to have a campaign with a famous person, you went to OJ.
Yeah. Yeah. He would be on commercials, all sorts of stuff. Yep. And then it was insulting to everyone because after he was acquitted, he was out on the golf course all the time and he'd be saying, I'm searching for the real killer. And even wrote a book called If I Did It, which basically is a real passive aggressive admission of guilt, talking about what he would have done if in fact it was him. That book did not get released for many years because it got held up in court battles and all the proceeds from it were determined that they need to go to the Goldman family because I don't believe they ever got paid very much, if at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it shows how effective our civil litigation system is. $33.5 million, he's dead 30-some years later. Did you get any money? No. It's like, oh, okay. Well, we. But he went on to live his life. And, and I guess his story will just continue to live on in infamy.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.